The cloud. For 55 episodes, I have been talking about the cloud and IT suppliers and how they will bring you artificial intelligence, on-demand analytics and hosting, next-level software and cognition. During this last year, we have seen huge companies crumble into pieces. We have seen pieces of companies recombine and become larger companies. And all the while, there are the customers, wondering what they should buy next, who they should buy from, and why they should buy from said company. And some of those customers may be resistant to the changes that we're seeing. They may be resistant to the cloud. They may be resistant to AI. But there are others working in large corporations, seemingly working with their IT departments. But in the shadows lie alternative technological choices, choices that have not been vetted through their IT departments. Where there are clouds, there are shadows. So this week, we're talking about that shadow IT that proliferates through the cloud. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 56. Before we get to our main story, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 7 days. Since we're talking about cloud IT applications, one of my favorite personal project management tools, Trello, was acquired by a company called Atlassian. I'm guessing that many of my listeners probably don't know what Trello is. It's a project bulletin board system that allows you to set up categories to assign out tasks to either yourself or to people within your team. You can post pictures and information of, let's say, a trip that you're going on and you're sharing with other people that are going on that trip. Or if you have multiple people working on a podcast, you could use the project management tool and delegate research items, editing, getting sound clips from other people, that sort of thing. This acquisition personally has me worried that Trello might be going away. I hope it doesn't get shuttered. Moving on to a company that you probably care about much more than Trello, Amazon acquired an AI security startup company called Harvest AI. They did it on the down low, but it eventually broke in the news. This company was co-founded by two former NSA employees, and it uses machine learning and artificial intelligence to analyze user behavior around the company's key IP to try to identify and stop targeted attacks before valuable customer data can be swiped. Rumors are that Amazon paid around $19 million for the company, and it sounds like the company's 12 employees are moving to Amazon's Seattle headquarters. And then Fitbit, they bought another smartwatch company. If you are a fan of Vector Watch, I have bad news for you. Like the acquisition of Pebble, Fitbit plans to take key personnel and patents and shelve the rest. So there is another smartwatch competitor that has been knocked out of the market. Shadow IT. What do I mean by shadow IT? If you're listening, you know what I mean, but I'll assume that you don't know what I mean. Simply put, shadow IT is when users either bring their home technology in or access an application on the web that is not blocked by your company's firewall, and they use it to get certain tasks done. That personal user shadow IT is dangerous because employees could be potentially uploading sensitive documents to the cloud that may not be secured, that may be accessed by non-employees or even worse, competitors, that could cause a major security breach. Most large companies usually have this situation figured out. Sites like Box and any other site where you can upload a document are usually blocked. Smaller companies and startups who are not maybe as IT privacy focused, it's a free-for-all. A great example of that is real estate agents. I have many friends that are real estate agents. And these people, they're using their own laptops. One of them's using a Gmail account. One of them's using the real estate agent's email server. One person is using a completely outdated version of McAfee. Another person's using Symantec. They're using whatever tool they have available to upload buyers' personal information, financial documents. The real estate industry is an area that is ripe for hacking. Sorry, real estate agent friends. Small companies, they're lenient because it allows them to save money. So it's good because there's dynamic tools that are being used to help better serve customers. On the other side, it's the Wild West. No controls, no consistency. So you don't have uniform customer experiences. As these small companies mature, they may be lucky enough to hire an IT person. Suddenly BYOD, it's not on the table anymore, and you have standardization, security, etc., etc. You are now a large-sized company with thousands of employees. You have grown this company out. How wonderful and beautiful. Capitalism at its finest. There are such good controls in place that your employees, who have all this technology at home, are struggling to do the simplest of things. And they find ways of getting around your firewalls to get on their websites that they like and use the cloud applications that they like. And suddenly you have a rogue manager or director that goes out, contracts with some cloud company, doesn't go through your strategic sourcing department, and now you have an application that is hosted completely on a cloud platform and has not been reviewed by the IT or security department. And you may say to yourself, that could never happen. That totally happens. And as cloud shifts more into software as a service, the lines are becoming even more blurred as to what a simple application is and what is a fully vetted cloud-hosted solution. So now technology departments and their customers are at an impasse. The technology department is trying to do the right thing. They're trying to protect the company's IP. And the customers just want to get their jobs done. And they're getting frustrated that the cheap and easy tools that they can access at home, they don't have access to at work. A recent report from a cloud security company named Netskope reveals that while enterprise cloud adoption continues to rise, unsanctioned use of services remains a major problem. One of the things that the report finds is that even if a company officially sanctions the use of a service like Box or Dropbox, users have personal instances with the same service, which makes detection of illegal use or improper movement of files almost impossible to detect. There are other elements of the report that review cloud service companies' data retention policies, their privacy features, and data protection regimens. The report found that 66% of all cloud services do not meet the proper threshold for privacy and security controls to be considered compliant with the General Data Protection Regulation Readiness Policy. And many of these companies won't even be compliant by the May 2018 deadline. The report seems to indicate that the application as a service, the existing applications, the Slacks and the Microsoft 365s, those are the areas that are causing the most trouble right now. But infrastructure as a service like Amazon is gaining ground and becoming a problem for IT security departments. Let's look at this from the IT department's perspective. You're trying to meet internal customer demand. You're trying to keep up with growth. And I don't care where you work. There has to be growth. Storage is becoming cheaper. That means there's more demand for storage, more demand for email, more demand for services, more demand for websites and databases, more. As this demand grows, do you think budget grows? We're still living in a time where we're trying to keep budgets flat and year-over-year cost flat or declining, yet there's ever-increasing demand and expectations for technology. So your IT department says no. They say, no, we don't have the money. We don't have the time to grow this out this year. And then the internal customer goes to some business lead, comes up with a business case. They hobble together a couple shekels. And then they go out, and they buy cloud services. They host the application themselves. They slap on some other application on top of it. Everything's fine for 3 months. Then all of a sudden, something blows up. Somebody calls the IT department. And they're standing around saying, where did this thing come from? How did it get here? And you expect us to support it? The IT department can say no, and this thing can continue to be unstandardized and potentially a security problem, or they could bring it under the fold, which then increases their cost. And let's not minimize internal politics. Let's say the IT department really says no. Then some VP business lead goes to the head of IT. They start complaining. The next thing you know, yes, the IT department will support this problem. And then on the other side, the VP business lead really has a need to do something. They have to get something accomplished to meet a certain business goal. And the head of IT might be saying, there's absolutely no way we can do this. We're shutting you down. Now that's physically impacting the company's ability to make money. When there's money on the line, IT makes it work. So realistically, how do you mitigate this situation? Everybody needs to step back and be objective of what the business driver is. Truly determine what the need is, what needs to be addressed, and are there internal resources that can handle that need? Or is there truly a reason to go outside? Hard to do, but sort of critical. Business leads and IT departments need to work together to achieve the right balance between security and accessibility. When almost everything that you do online can potentially become a portal into getting hacked, you can empathize with the paranoia and overprotection that a security department would exhibit. Over the summer, my friend Napoor gave me a book by Adam Grant called Originals. The book uses a series of examples to show that it's the right time and the right thinking can make the world of difference. And the book actually uses an example from the U.S. government. I know, surprising. And it's specifically the intelligence agencies. Forgive me, I don't remember the woman's name. The short version of the story is the intelligence agencies weren't sharing information with each other. As one would imagine, they kept a lot of that information under lock and key, so there were efficiencies that were being lost. One lead tried to get this information shared between the departments and was rejected like 3 times. That was like the big thing. That was her personal story. She got rejected and she had to change her communication style. But eventually, the intelligence agencies got together. They made like an internal Wikipedia. There were critics of this program and the use of this information, allowing it to proliferate within the various departments. And finally, one leader within one of the departments said, yes, there is an increased risk that this information could be leaked, but the benefit of having all of our agents know this information far outweighs the risk of it getting released or being accessed by the wrong people. And that is the dilemma or the decision that any company really has to make when it comes to their information. The cloud is getting cheaper. The cloud is getting easier to use. The cloud is going to make things easier to implement at a faster pace. But is the perceived increased risk of having your data accessed by the wrong person worth the cost savings? And I use the word perceived because have we heard of any major hack of a cloud service provider and specifically their information being accessed? Yes, we've seen DNS and denial of services attacks. Hell, there was one in the summer that took down half of the internet for a couple of hours. That was against Amazon, by the way. I don't believe we've seen a situation where information has been hacked out of any of the major cloud providers, but there is always a risk. And what we saw via that DNS attack over the summer is that while your data might not be vulnerable, your uptime may be. So if you're some little insurance company in the Midwest that decides to go on AWS and some hacker has a bad day and decides to take them down or take that specific note down, do your customers care that they can't access AWS or do they have a problem because they can't file a claim that day? I'm not taking a side on this one. I'm just relaying the information. Another thing that an IT company really needs to do when it comes to addressing shadow IT use is have open communication. If a security or IT department is seeing internal users consistently finding ways to use other cloud services or quote-unquote shadow IT, you can keep cracking down and increasing customer frustration, or you can have a talk about it. Communicate with your customers. Let them know why these services are being shut down and why you have a team of 30 people locked into a closet monitoring everyone's use to make sure their information doesn't go out the door. The IT department can write their own story. They can create empathy for themselves by simple communications and let customers know why they are enforcing certain policies. They don't have to be the bad guys and they don't have to be the bullies. They are keeping the company safe. Having open communications and explaining to customers why certain technology is unavailable and maybe having an open mind about some favorite cloud app and seeing if you could actually bring it in to some degree as an olive branch and you could turn a rebel party that's been thwarting you at every pass and trying to find openings and turn them into actual allies to help you achieve a common goal. Wow, that was very Pollyanna. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.